Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of tests, as we shift over to some baseball talk, there's going to be a first big test, a pop quiz maybe. A test is too strong because this is his first go-around for Buster Posey this offseason. Now, you know, the head honcho, Farhan Zaidi, he's out, Buster Posey in. He's going to have his imprints all over this San Francisco Giants organization, Sam Lubman. I know you're tapped in with the Giants more so than anyone else at the station. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys pod. You and Shasky do a hell of a job. Find that
New podcast. Episode available now.
There you go. Where? Tell everyone.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey apps, even on YouTube now, so you can see what Shasky and I look like.
There you go. So find that. And I'm curious what you have thought about, first and foremost, the shift to Buster Posey. And you know, Blake Snell was a Giant last year. They kept him. Farhan didn't feel like he got enough to want to part ways with a Blake Snell. He didn't see like any contenders weren't giving up at high-level prospects that he sought, or everyday players, current players that are major leaguers that, you know, can plug and play right now. So they kept him. And what happened? Well, he goes to the Dodgers, signs 180?
Yeah, 5 years, $182
million. $182 million. And now Blake Snell's a Dodger. And the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. It's a tale as old as time. But what's the biggest area of improvement for you, Sam Lubman, that needs to take place for Buster Posey to have immediate success here as the new head honcho? What's his official title? Is it
President of Baseball Operations?
Okay, so that is his official title. They got the general manager, Manasian, coming over from the Brewers, and his brother, obviously, general manager over with the Los Angeles Angels. So he's got that. He got Randy Winn. He's what, executive, player personnel.
Player department. Development. He was a roving instructor for a little while.
Bobby Evans is now back over here.
Bobby Evans and Jeff Barry are getting the band
back together from a decade ago.
A little bit, it sounds like that. I mean, Evans and Barry are being brought in basically to kind of be advisors, which they kind of were already doing. Buster was just on Buster Olney's podcast the other day, talked about kind of what this first month plus, or almost 2 months now, on the job has been like. And it's been a lot of learning. You know, that's why Evans is there. Like, when Evans was hired, the way Giants fans were acting, you think that Evans was going to be wielding full control of everything in this organization. No. Like, Bobby Evans is basically there to tell Buster, hey, this is how you do that. This is how guys are going to do this. This is what you're going to run into when you try to do something like that. Like, that's what Bobby Evans is for. Jeff Barry, he's there to be like, hey, This is how agents are going to act. This is what agents will say to you when you say this. This is what agents are wanting for that. So, like, what their roles are, that's basically what they're going to be doing there. But yeah, it's been kind of a sleepy start to the Buster Posey era. Now, granted, part of that's just how baseball is these days. Moves don't go popping off right away like they used to. The winter meetings are going to be in a few weeks, so my guess is you'll start seeing some activity there. But as far as what Buster Posey has to do here, I mean, I think you're looking at a season that's going to be basically an evaluation year for the Giants. Like, I don't think this team's that far away from a playoff spot, but from, like, meaningful contention, I think they got a ways to go. They got a hole in the rotation now that they need to fill. So that's going to be part of it. Do you feel that internally? Now, you do got Robbie Ray coming back to go behind Logan Webb. You got two good young pitchers in Hayden Birdsong and Kyle Harrison. So you do got a rotation. You know, we saw some young guys last year, like Landon Roop, come up and, you know, have some muted success here and there. But yeah, you need to shore up that pitching rotation, and you need a shortstop. They don't want to put Tyler Fitzgerald there. He doesn't seem like he might be moving over to second base. I don't know what Tyro Estrada's future is going to be. It seems like he's just completely, you know, fade away into dust, like Thanos snapped him out of existence. So they need to move on there. Ha-Sung Kim is the name that keeps popping up as being the perfect fit for the Giants. Sure, I think that's an okay move. It's a solid move. I don't know if that's a takes you to the next step move. I know
233, 11 jacks, 47 RBIs, 94 hits.
And
last
he's
year.
A guy though with Ha-Sung Kim. He's gotten better every year that he's been in the bigs. And I look at his arc through baseball as being something what we would see similar to Jung-Hoo Lee. But Jung-Hoo Lee's basically go through his rookie year 2.0 next year after he missed the entire season, most of the entire season last year with a shoulder injury. So you need to figure out shortstop. I know a lot of Giants fans probably want Willy Adames. I was caping up for him, Adames, the other day. There's a very good chance that Willy Adames just gave you a very, you know, stereotypical contract year last year. But the other one is first base. They need to figure out first base there. Lamont Wade Jr. is not a first baseman. He can play the position. He does an okay job at it, but like Lamont Wade Jr., who did get tendered, so he will be back next year. He's okay at the position. Offensively, though, when you look up Lamont Wade Jr. highlights, every highlight video is titled, you know, Lamont Wade Jr. bat flips after ball four. Like, that's your highlight reel, is bat flipping after you draw a walk. Like,
next level. I'd do that.
No, it's just, that's ridiculous. Like, I need, like, I'm glad that he can get on base. He's one of the best in baseball at getting on base. But, like, dude, I need a second level of your game. When your only thing you can do is draw walks, that's not big leaguer energy right there. So, yeah, it's find another starting pitching option, you know, somewhere in the middle of the rotation, a 2-3 starter option. Or just go big and sign Corbin Burns. I know that's okay.
Why not?
Figure out that shortstop position. Probably going to be Ha-Sung Kim, so Giants fans get ready to be disappointed. And then I don't know what you do at first base, because Pete Alonso probably isn't going to walk through that door. I've been banging on the table saying, you know, go make the trade for Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. That seems like a long shot. So realistically, what's that?
Pauly Goldschmidt, you want him?
Honestly, on a one-year deal.
How old is he? Jesus.
37 years old. On a one-year deal to hit 230 with 16 bombs, like, you know, eight of those bombs coming when the Giants are down, eight runs.
You know what they should do? If Bozy really wants to bring the band back together, during BP, just fly in every day or wherever you're going. Tim Lincecum to throw in BP. Pull up, be hitting nukes the entire
time.
There
you go. It's got to find Timmy first.
I swear to God, Paul Goldschmidt hit the farthest home runs I've ever seen off a guy named Tim Lincecum. Oh, my God.
He was
Lincecum,
it was
just, killer.
Oh, the total Lincecum killer. It was.
He's 37, geez. Man. Yeah. You know, Hall of Famer, Paul Goldschmidt?
Yeah, borderline.
He's an MVP, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah,
his
he won
stats
MVP
right now.
A couple years ago. He's...
So basically 290 batting average career, 2,000 hits, 362 jacks. If he keeps going, maybe he gets to 400. I think that matters to him. Seven-time All-Star, NL MVP, Gold Glover, home run leader. Is that enough, though? Is that enough?
Well, it's always compared to the guys in your era. So, I mean, he's probably in a good position.
Well, who else is up there in the first baseman? Because Miggy kind of went that / DH.
Yeah, but he'll right? Miguel
Rizzo,
Cabrera,
Rizzo
he's a third baseman too.
Rizzo,
Anthony Rizzo. Yeah, it's
Goldschmidt over him, right?
But here's career-wise. The thing: at the end of the day, though, the answer for the Giants at first base, it's going to be Bryce Eldridge, and I think
a guy that hasn't played in the major leagues.
I mean,
how do we? Okay, so real quick on Bryce Eldridge because Shasky keeps talking about.
I've seen this guy.
How can you say that?
Well, we thought
Elliot Ramos, or not Elliot Ramos, we thought our guy Luciano was going to be the best thing, and he can't even field the ball.
Well, how are you supposed to find out other than, like, every guy, that's why I hate that whole, we don't know who that guy is. You know, no one knew who this guy was. Like, everyone is unknown at some point. So, like, miss me with that argument. No, the Bryce
Eldridge is untouchable is what you're telling me right now. He's untouchable.
I think
someone huge out there, who's the big fish that I can trade for right now?
I would, honestly, I would not be upset if it was a Bryce Eldridge for Vlad Jr. trade.
There it is.
So okay. I would do that. Okay. No, and this is where I think, and we talk about, well, you know, the Giants moving forward.
6'7".
Yeah, he's tall. I mean, again,
he's going to be Aaron Judge?
Time for the legal.
Or is he gonna be Nate Freiman? By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. I just mentioned two guys that are very tall, one very good and one not very good.
There you go. So when I was a kid, you know, I'd play a lot of, you know, basketball in the driveway with my dad and stuff like that. And, you know, whenever we did anything, we always, the smack talk line that we would say is, what do we learn, kids? That's the line that we would drop on each other a lot. So if I'm the Giants, and if I'm asking that question, what do we learn, kids, from what's transpired these last few months, especially around Blake Snell? It's that you just sometimes you can't be attached to your ways. Like we see Kyle Shanahan, he refuses to change his ways. And the San Francisco Giants have fostered this culture over the years of just no matter what, we're always going to try and compete. You know, no matter what, we're always going to be pushing to compete. It was something that was I always enjoyed about this team. I like a team that's always trying to win. And I feel like they've almost kind of taken it too far. Like part of the reason why they wanted to hold on to Blake Snell was they wanted to create this illusion that they were in it because they wanted to sell tickets, because there's this belief in this market that Giants fans will never accept a full-on rebuild. And part of that is because historically they've never really needed to. They from 2010 to 2016, they won 3 titles in 5 years, and they did so without ever holding a draft pick higher than 5. And that was Buster Posey in 2008. So Giants fans have kind of been conditioned to believe that you don't need to tank in order to rebuild. I mean, you look at the mid-2000s, they had 4 straight losing seasons, and the Giants will tell you they were trying to compete in all 4 of those years.
You know what's even worse about that real quick, Sam, not to cut you off because you're making a hell of a point. They haven't had the losing seasons, although I wish I would have just had the losing seasons and been bad just to get the better draft picks. Because the apathy is still the same with this team. Even when they're mired in mediocrity, it would have been the same if they had just been bad.
But that's what's different from what this stretch from... See, I compare this stretch to the stretch the Giants went from 05 to 08. When they're a below 500 team. They're stuck in the 70s. But they never had a top 5 draft pick. But people were still invested. Part of that was the Barry Bonds effect. Part of that was Tim Lincecum showed up. The problem with the Giants on these last few years is they didn't have that attraction to get you through the mediocre years. That's where Farhan really failed. And that's why I think you kind of saw this apathy kind of come in. Like, you could do like what the Orioles are doing and build your team around a bunch of a number one picks, and that's eventually going to work out for you. But the Giants, again, 3 titles in 5 years, and they never held a pick higher than 5. So if you're a Giants fan, and I've always kind of submitted this belief too, you do not need to tank in order to get better in baseball. It's all about, can you identify the talent? And more importantly, which I think it's even what's bigger in baseball, more so than finding the talent, you got to develop the talent.
Well, just look at the team that's in your own division. I know it's sexy. I know they just got Blake Snell. They're mercenaries. They go after the free agents. But look at their homegrown
the
guys.
The Dodgers have had a top 10 farm system going back to like 2006. Like, they have had a template over multiple front office regimes of developing players and cranking out big league talent that they've been able to use as a base to bring in big guys, or they use some of those, you know, assets to make trades like for Yu Darvish in 2017, Manny Machado in 2018, Mookie Betts before the 2020 season. Then that sets them up. You know, when you have a sexy team like that, you know, it makes it a lot easier to sign a guy like a Freddie Freeman. You become a lot more attractive option to a guy like Shohei Ohtani, to a guy like Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So it starts at the base and works its way up. But the lesson I think the Giants have to learn here is that you might have to take that step back that you've refused to take for so long. You've so much painted yourself into a corner with these try-to-win-now moves that I think you just have to take the lick next year. I don't think there's a big free agency signing that's going to save this team. It's not going to be Juan Soto. Like, you need to see what you got right now. And also, you can't be afraid to move off of assets. Now, if they did trade Blake Snell, my guess is the guy they got back would not have been that impactful. You know, the example I brought up on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys the other day was Abiato Avellino. He's the guy who the Giants acquired for Andrew McCutchen in 2018. Did absolutely nothing for this team. But
I think you would have gotten more back from Snell than McCutchen at the time, though.
Even still, though, like, I don't think, like, no top 100 prospects were moved. I don't think Blake Snell would have been moved for a top 100 prospect.
He
would have been moved for a guy who shows up, plays in August, September, underwhelms, and then I don't know if he's even on the roster next year. But what that does do is it takes away the whole why did you hold on to him argument, because that's what the Giants did. They swept the Rockies and convinced themselves they had the best pitching rotation in baseball, and it ended up dooming them those final 2 months of what was a flawed team. So the Giants, the lesson learned is sometimes you got to be realistic with where you're standing, and you got to take the step back. This whole we're always going to compete, we're always going to do everything we can to fill the stadium up, no, fans aren't buying that anymore. So going forward, and hopefully this is something that Buster posted, you got to be more self-aware of your standing.
First baseman that are available right now, Christian Walker, 34 years old, obviously been a thorn in the Giants last few years.
I wouldn't say no to him.
At Arizona, 34, 6.8 war last year. Is this career war or last year? Ken, is this career war or is this last year's war?
I believe it's last year's war.
Thank you. So 6.8 war, and what is it good for? Absolutely everything when it comes to baseball, because it's wins above replacement. Pete Alonso, who's 30, had a 5 war last year. Carlos Santana, he's 39? Yeah, I'm out. Paul Goldschmidt, 37, but if it's a stopgap year, why not? He had a 4.4 war last year and a lost year with the St. Louis Cardinals. So just some names there. Again, you're going for a name at least, but also just some production from guys that you hope to get something out of, and maybe you can flip them at the deadline. We'll see. It's not something you're going to be doing 3-4-year deals for any of these guys.
Christian Walker, by the way, hitting a 290 with a 370 on base and a 414 slugging, 783 OPS in 162 at-bats at Oracle Park.
Yeah, he's decent player, right? Paul Goldschmidt, I want to say his numbers are incredible.
12 doubles there. So, I mean, yes. he hits pretty well at Oracle.
It's always funny how that works, right? The opposing teams have no problem hitting here, right? But once they put on the Giants uniform, Sam, that's the real test. Is it a
jinx? Some guys have better than others. But again, when you only have to be here for a few days versus an entire season, you know, there's a lot that goes into that as well.
And that's something that Buster Posey's going to have to try to pitch to these guys, right? The ballpark. And that's why there is something with Buster, because he knows this ballpark inside and out. He grew up here as a player. He did all of that here. He's a homegrown guy. He is respected within the league. He knows these players. He knows their tendencies. He knows what they likes. That is something that Farhan just did not have. He did not have that firsthand experience of being at this ballpark and having that and trying to not, you know, swindle these players, because you're not going to swindle guys. They know what they hit here, and they're going to be, you know, looking at a Cincinnati, or they're going to be looking at, I don't know, a Chicago, somewhere else where they feel like they can get as much or maybe a little less money, but maybe I can hit more there and produce. So what do? Do you pay them more? Do you talk to them? How's the pitching going
to
go here?
The reality is, Spinelli, I'm going to catch out there. The reality is, if they want that big bat, they can't go to free agency for it.
You got to trade for it, right?
The Giants, I mean, for the longest time, they were afraid of going after big free agents. I mean, the Barry Zito and Aaron Rowan contracts, I think, really kind of, you know, rattled them in terms of throwing big money at guys. Obviously, Zito, you know, had those two starts in October in 2012. Aaron Rowan was the highest paid player on that 2012 Giants team. He didn't even take an at bat that year.
It's a bad contract, but Zito did win a Cy Young.
It was the fact. It wasn't a good contract, though. It's be real. Like, it wasn't a good contract, and it shook that organization so much they didn't want to throw that kind of money at anybody until Smarja and Cueto.
I think they get so much blowback on it. I actually love that contract. Even still, would sign it, because you know what? It signals that I'm still trying to go all in. As soon as the rest of the league, I'm still willing to pay and be a big dog.
And kind of like
what the Padres did, not to cut you out there, Sammy, a few years back with A.J. Preller, when it didn't go well. Remember, they signed all those free agents. We're going to be the big spenders.
Well, you see, I kind of like what Preller did there sense.
Right?
He signed Eric Hosmer. Okay. But no, this is what he signed Eric Hosmer to that big deal, but that was not so much about Hosmer, the player, in terms of the numbers he's going to bring in. That was about, because you had a very young team on that that the Padres were bringing up right there. And That was about bringing a guy who had been there before into the clubhouse. Yeah. Eric Hosmer was still a solid player, but
World Series champion.
Just been a World Series champion. He 90 feet away from being a 2-time World Series champion. That's what I saw that Eric Hosmer deal as being. I don't think the Giants necessarily need a guy like that when you got a guy like Buster leading things. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could. I don't know if there's really any option out there they can go there for that. But no, the best option they're going to have to do is they're going to have to start making trades. If they want to get that big swing, this is where that Vlad Jr. trade proposal comes back in. You know, that's, if you really want to shake things up, that's what you do, something like that. Brian Sabian announced his arrival to San Francisco by trading Matt Williams for a bunch of guys, including JT Snow and Jeff Kent. You had that big earth-shattering move. Farhan Zaidi never really had that. The first big move he made was like Yangervis Solarte. You know, the first notable move he made was Kevin Pillar a week into the 2019 season. So, Buster Posey, like, you know, let's start things off with a bang. Other than that, otherwise, like, I'm expecting another 75-win season for the Giants where we're just like, let's see what we could do for 2026.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.